Lyle.
Hello.
Good morning. When you logged in, did it say anything about the meeting being recorded? Did it give you the usual message?
I wasn't paying much attention, but I think it did, actually. But...
Okay, we've been having some problems. The new interface has got a bug in it, so I'm hoping I've got it turned on. Are you guys getting cold yet out there, or is it still nice and hot?
Oh, it's pretty nice, actually. We've been getting lots of rain.
Oh, really? Okay. Does this tend to be the rainy time of year there?
July, August, September.
I guess that's right. Yeah, you get those summer afternoon thunderstorms that roll through.
We've had a lot of rain this summer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's the opposite here. We get all our rain in the winter.
It's a really dump on us tonight and tomorrow.
I miss the big thunderstorms. I used to get them where I was growing up as a kid, but not down here.
Calgary, was it?
Yep. Yeah. Calgary and Edmonton. We actually probably got more of them in Edmonton. Calgary's pretty dry. You'd still get thunderstorms, but not with a lot of rain, though.
Oh, yeah, you're in the mountain shadow.
Yeah. Betty, can you confirm whether or not you heard the...
I think it did say by request of the meeting organizer the meeting was being recorded. Maybe someone else can confirm that.
Yes, it did say
it
that.
It definitely did say that. Good. Okay, good. So hopefully the recording is turned on then. Thank you. Good morning, Anne.
Hello.
Betty, how did I miss you there? Okay. Susie. Mitch, good morning.
Good morning, Elizabeth. How are you?
Doing well. Yourself?
Terrific, thanks.
Good.
Computer saved me from missing this one. I'll never forgive it.
Can't blame you.
Did you get a chance to look at my blog comment?
Hi,
Carol.
Hello.
Good morning. All right. I'm assuming you're referring to 1144, right, Mitch?
Right, and the question had to do with whether or not there was a blog from, I think it was 1006, where we talked about this stuff before.
Unfortunately, 1006 was...
Yeah, but I think that in the course of the discussions, we talked about some of these issues. That was where we updated the file name length as well, I thought.
No, actually it was not. We updated some of the language in the standards reference that we had failed to update the previous time. But the actual decision to go from 8.3 to 27.3 was unfortunately a previous SCR that I do not have a record of. It's probably sitting on paper in one of my files, but I haven't had time to go through and look for it yet.
Yeah, I wasn't even sure where the 10...
I'm sorry, Mitch, could you finish that again?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I thought that maybe 10.006 predated the implementation of the blog, but if not, there might have been some comments embedded in that.
Yeah, it did. I've been trying to go back and, you know what, I could go back and check my email and see what kind of a discussion I had on it at that point. You know what, Mitch, I do not see your comment here. Let me double check and see if it's, I've got to log in first. It got held up. Some of them don't go through automatically.
Yeah, I don't see it either, and I've refreshed my screen.
Yeah.
Oh, good. It doesn't like it. It said it was putting it in the queue.
Yeah, no, unfortunately, given the amount of slime spam I'm getting, I have to review these things. Now, there's some of you, for some reason, are able to post, and I don't know whether it's just that if it approves you after that. I've got to go back and figure out how this thing's configured. There's Mitch. Get that one approved. There's Dick Simpson. Got to get that one approved. Okay, so approve those two. I think there's just the one page. Yeah. Okay, so I should have both of the two approved comments. Okay, Betty, go ahead and refresh your page again. It should be there now.
Yeah, I see them.
Okay. Okay, good. All right, I missed a couple of the last people that called in. Who were the last few to call in?
Todd.
Todd.
Yeah, and Keith.
Keith. Okay, Keith I got. And Boris, were you the other one that just said something?
Yes.
Okay.
Penny.
Okay, so I'm going to go through and list who I've got here. You guys let me know if I miss anyone. Keith Bennett, Laurie Figge, is that right? Patty Garcia, Mitch Gordon, Lyle Huber, Chris Isbell, Todd King, Carol Neese, Ann Rao, Elizabeth Rye, Boris Semenoff, Dick Simpson, Susie Slavny, Betty Sword. Anyone I missed? All right. Okay. I want to announce before we start the decision that we had made at the last telecon to basically take any SDR that hasn't had any action for 3 months and revise the status to parked. I want to extend everybody an extra month just because a lot of us have been focusing on this, drop everything and do this SDR for the extended file names. Do I have any objections to that? Is that okay with everyone?
It wasn't clear. What do you want to do, Liz?
I'm sorry, Todd. You missed the last telecon. We had made a decision at that point that in order, given that we're going to start meeting much less frequently, we're just going to meet once a month for the regular standards telecons, we had decided that in order to keep these things moving, we would, after 3 months of inaction on an SCR, revise the status of the SCR to parked, and then I would have the freedom, if necessary, to assign a new lead and working group to the SCR in order to get it moving again.
I think 1144 may be dead, in which case there's no need to make an extension.
Well, the problem is that some of us have been spending the last 2 weeks already researching this issue. So,
yeah, I know.
So it's already had an impact on us.
If it's for your convenience, I'll go along.
Well, and I know, okay, well, whatever. I'm not the only one who's been impacted by this, but anyway, if there's no objections to that, I would just, like I say, this one time, I'd like to make that extension.
That's okay with me.
Okay. Do you folks want to discuss the new SCR first or last?
Last.
Okay, that's fine. Then let's go through the regular list. As I sent out in the corrected notice to the agenda, I dropped 1087 because it's already been dealt with. I had just put it on there by mistake in the first place. Which means the first SCR up is 1116, which is aligning the online dictionary interface with the words that are used for the keyword attributes in the pdsdd.full file. I've only made a little bit of progress on that this month, basically going through and identifying where the mismatches are occurring. I didn't get any farther than that. So that one, there hasn't been a whole lot of progress on. The next one was 1126, which is multiple occurrences of the same keyword in an object, valid or not. Todd, you're the lead on that.
Well, with all these, I haven't done anything.
Okay, that's
fine. I have nothing to report. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I really should kick myself in the butt or something.
If you want, I'm happy to start pestering you. Do you want me to do that? Would that help?
It usually does, because you know, well, poking the side usually wakes me up.
All right. I'll get out my pointy stick. All right. Okay, same thing with the next one, 1127, which is the pointer object ambiguity in the standards references. Todd, you're on that one as well.
Yeah, I did as much work on this as I did the previous one.
Okay, gotcha.
It's a big stick.
You
all
need
right.
A bigger stick, yeah.
There we go. 1135, which is PDF A as a potential replacement for text documents. Lyle, you were the lead on that.
An attempt was made to convene a working group last week, but there were some conflicts, so another attempt was made to convene the working group again tomorrow, and I don't know the status of that. Ron? Ron on?
Actually, no, Ron's not on, surprisingly, yes.
He had another meeting.
Ron will know the answer to that.
Okay. All right, got that marked down then.
I have that on my calendar, right?
Yeah, but I don't know if Ron never confirmed the date and time.
Oh.
So I don't know if it's happening or not.
Betty and I, go ahead.
Oddly enough, I'm looking at the page for that SCR, and it says you have a telecon today.
Today?
Yeah, there's just a place for telecon notes for today with today's date.
It should be September 11th. Should be tomorrow. At least that's what I have on my calendar.
Yeah, that's what I had also.
Where are you looking, Ann?
I'm looking at the page for SCR3-1135.
Must just be a typo.
Probably, yeah.
I'm just surprised. How did it even get in there?
Or Ron's sitting in a room somewhere on a telephone getting very annoyed.
1135, there we go.
It's kind of a placeholder when you click
no,
on
no, 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 I'm sorry. That discussion, Ann, what you're looking at is that's because I have this standards telecon in the database and this issue was on the agenda for it. So in the future, that will be a reference back to either the tape recording or the minutes.
I see.
Yeah.
Very handy.
Okay. Okay, so Betty and I will bug Ron to get back to you, Lyle, about the meeting.
Okay.
Great. Okay, next one. 1139, add standard values for the MGN bistatic radar and Cassini orbiter. Richard Chen is the lead on this. He is out of town this week, or actually for 2 weeks, I believe. I have been attempting to update the SCR, and I ran into a few problems. One of them was just trying to sort out which updates were due to which mission, but I think I've got that now. The biggest concern I had on this one was the adding the standard value DVD plus R as a new medium type. Initially, I was thinking this is just a standard value update and nothing to worry about, and then I went back and consulted the standards reference and realized that Chapter 11 on the media formats does not permit DVD plus R. I've talked to Dick Simpson, and it sounds like a number of other people are using DVD plus Rs on a regular basis. So I guess my question to you guys is, do we care? Do we just want to go ahead and update the standard value list for the medium type keyword, or do we actually want to go through the effort of updating Chapter 11 and the standards reference as well to bring it into compliance with the current media that are being used?
I thought DVD plus R just had to do with the recording, that they were compatible and readable in just an ordinary DVD reader.
Well, yes and no. Years ago, Mike Martin and the DDL, which existed at the time, did a fairly thorough job of reviewing the properties of various media that were available. And if I remember correctly from the little presentation that they made at the Management Council meeting, it was pretty clear that the DVD minus R format was much more reliable at the time for long-term archiving for various reasons that I honestly don't remember now. And so DVD minus R was determined to be the only thing that was acceptable for long-term formatting for long-term storage of data where you cared about every single byte, whereas DVD plus R was fine if you were just saving video, because if one byte goes wrong in a video, you'll probably never notice. Since then, and in researching some of the problems that we've had with DVD media of various types, I kind of get the impression that that has swung around the other way.
Oh, wow.
But it's not a very wide avenue to swing around. So that's about all I can
say. Well, I can say that we are still encountering problems with DVD plus R here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So problems in terms of recording or problems in terms of reliability?
In terms of actually reading them.
Reading them. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think that was the historical problem, was reading them on multiple platforms or multiple drives.
Okay. I'll tell you, my instinct on this one was to pull the medium type equals DVD plus R out of this SCR and throw it into a new SCR by itself, so that we could go through, finish this SCR quickly, and then research and deal with any potential issues with the DVD plus R issue on a separate basis. Does that sound like a good approach to you folks?
Are they actually delivering DVDs? Because that might be an issue for them if they can't write minus R.
That's a good question, which I can't answer. I do not know if this is simply an issue of moving data around the PDS or if this is formally archiving it on said media.
That's my issue. We have a writer which was bought and supposedly had the capability of writing both DVD minus R and DVD plus R. Sometime about 2 years ago, it stopped writing DVD minus Rs. We can get a few through, but it takes about 30 minutes to write a single disk, whereas a DVD plus R sometimes can complete in 5 to 10 minutes. So it's a real throughput thing. The Magellan Bistatic Radar data set is, I think, only 3 DVDs, so I could write those on my Mac. I don't want to use my laptop for just sort of batch processing. The large majority of volumes we're writing now just go to Europeans, where they're folded into larger archives, and the Europeans do the archiving. So I can switch over to the DVD minus R for the few volumes that we're putting out right now. But if we ever get into our restoration mode again, DVD plus Rs are the only kind of disk we can write at this point in any reliable way.
Okay, it sounds like we've got a number of issues here. The other impact we've got is that the Management Council, I believe it was last week, if I'm not mistaken, has just adopted a policy that no longer requires archiving to physical media.
No,
so,
I don't think...
Did I misunderstood that? Because I did not hear this directly. I've heard it via somebody else. So what is the... Yeah, what was the resolution?
I think a policy was adopted a year or two ago which said that missions could deliver on whatever was mutually agreeable with the discipline node, but I don't think anything changed a week ago.
Okay, maybe my information's wrong. I was under the impression there had been just a new policy adopted in the very last few days.
Yeah, there was a new set of policies on data integrity, and let me see if I can dig those up. Why don't you go on to something else?
Okay, so anyway, I think... Everything I'm hearing here is confirming that this is a little bit more complex issue than simply updating standard values. I am going to pull it out of 1139 and allow 1139 to go ahead with the remaining keywords.
I just have one question, though.
Sure. I mean,
in looking at Chapter 11, because Chapter 11 is the one that, right, says DVD minus Rs, not plus Rs. But it only makes reference to that in one sentence, and that would just become a list, right? DVD minus
basically
Rs.
Basically, 11.2, yeah, it lists...
11.2.2.
11... Yeah, 11.2.2 has got the DVD ROM or DVD minus R, and then 11.2.3 talks about the specific DVD formats that are permitted. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed 11.3 is also going to need to be updated because it refers to, it's out of date already because it still refers to the 8.3 requirement and ISO 9660 level 1. So all of these are going to need to be updated. I'm just trying to figure out if this is something that we want to push ahead with and get done for, you know, standards reference 3.8.
But
or
when,
deal with in the future.
Right,
yeah.
But when you look at the medium type standard value list, I mean, there's like 12-inch worm disks in there.
Yes, I think that's for historical purposes. I mean, we
right.
used to archive on that kind of stuff, although it's explicitly spelled out in Chapter 11 that you're not supposed to use it now.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is that Chapter 11 doesn't seem to be tightly coupled
with
the standard value list and medium type. So I don't know if you really have to, you know, separate it out.
Although one could make an argument, not that I've looked at this in detail, that the medium type list is coupled with what currently or in the past has been an approved format for archiving. I don't know that, but that might be a possibility.
No, those worm disks is just what it was stored on.
Okay.
No, I don't even know if they can even read them anymore. I'm sure
I don't
stuff
know if
like
got
that
a reader.
Has been,
yeah.
It's been migrated, I'm sure. But
anyway, okay, for whatever...
Do you want to go back to last week's Management Council policies?
Go ahead.
The only policy that really relates is a policy that says all holdings will be online by September 2009. It says nothing about delivery.
Okay. I'm going to have to look into this more offline because that's definitely a different understanding than what I was told from what came out of these policies. So thank you, Dick.
Yeah,
we'll go back and look at it in more detail later.
The other policies are about recovery in case of a disaster, checksums, and data integrity checking, which
okay.
basically means you go through every now and then. So
right.
The topic that you were told was brought up isn't included as far as I can see.
Okay. Like I say, I'll investigate this further offline. Appreciate it very much. Okay. 1140, update the standards reference to bring the archive descriptive documents, I think it is, requirements in alignment with the PEG and APG. There's no update on that. I haven't done anything on it. 1141, increase the data quality ID to 16 characters. This is basically an SCR that needs minor updates and needs to be sent out for an e-vote. Again, that's me that needs to get that done. So, essentially, no update. Which brings us to 1144, which is the new SCR submitted by Susie. Extend the maximum file name length to 40 characters. Susie, you're the lead on that. Go ahead.
All right. I won't repeat everything that's in the SCR, assuming that you have read it. I'll just kind of summarize. We have a request from the MSL mission that went directly to Ray from Justin Mackey to allow longer than 27.3 file names. And their reasoning is that they use the file name for a lot of bookkeeping in order to make it unique. They put the spacecraft clock in there and a bunch of other stuff. And since they've been doing this for Murr and for Phoenix, and they're following that pattern, but with MSL they have more instruments, a longer mission, et cetera, so they run out of room. They would like to have a few more characters to put everything they need in there. And so after talking with Justin and talking among ourselves for a while, we decided that it was a reasonable request. So we proposed this in writing at the Management Council on Monday, and the text that we proposed is in the SCR for you to read. And what we are proposing is a two-step approach. The first step is to solve MSL's immediate need by extending the file name length to 40 characters, because we think at 40 we can do this without breaking anything. And the main reason for choosing 40 is that product IDs are limited to 40. And we know that MSL wants to use the file name as the product ID since it will be unique. They would be happy with more, but I think 40 is as far as we can go without doing a lot of work. And our whole attitude to this is if we can do it without doing a lot of work and causing a lot of hassle, we should do it. So the Management Council talked about it, and there was general approval except from Dick Simpson, and Todd was a little dubious. But in general, they said, go ahead and submit the SCR. And we did it this way because we don't want to do all the work of an SCR only to have it stomped on at the very end. You know, if they're going to say no right away, we wanted to know that right away. But they said, no, go ahead. So that's why we have submitted this SCR. What we want to do today is not to have a vote, but sort of describe the background and tell you what our plan is for going ahead and getting this done, and get input from the other nodes about what you think. Right now the working group is myself and Ron Joyner and Mitch Gordon. So I see there's some stuff on the blog that I didn't see until just a few minutes ago, and I haven't really had time to absorb it. But I am guessing that the big issue is going to be what standard are we in compliance with, or what standard are we not in compliance with.
I think the basically what came out of the Management Council meeting was the managers didn't have a visceral, we're not going to do this under any circumstances attitude. It wasn't that they wanted it done, but that it had a reasonable chance of getting past them if it wasn't going to produce a lot of work here. And it looks like the big question is going to be the ISO 660 or 9660.
Right.
Right now in the standards, we do ISO level 1 for everything except file names, and that goes to ISO 660 level 2. Now, are we going to have to get out of 1988 and into 1998 in order to be able to get past the 31 characters that we're currently allowed?
Well, as I explained in the write-up that's in that SCR, there's a lot of problems just as things are now conforming with whichever ISO standard you pick. The one that we conform to now is ISO 9660:1988. And that's with the exception of file names,
yep,
which is part of ISO 9660:1999.
Well, no.
Folder names.
No, it is not.
Folder names we allow 31, too.
Yeah, that's ISO 9660 level 2. The
in
only difference,
yes,
between
right,
level 1 and level 2 is longer file names.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the only difference.
Is that,
Both the level 1 and level 2 that we're currently adhering to, the 1988 version of
the yes, and I need to make it clear right now, the 1999 version has been withdrawn. It is not a valid standard.
Right.
You go to the ISO website, and it is not out there. It
that's
is not.
That would explain why you can find copies of it on the public website.
It's hard to find.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to find.
And if you found a complete copy, I would love to get my hands on it. There are theoretically.
Well, I sent the link out.
Yeah, it's an email that ends.
Yeah, I sent a link out like as I was dialing into this meeting. It has an HTML version of the standard. It has the same sort of writing style as the standard, but it's posted without copyright information, which makes it somewhat suspect because, of course, once they're actual standards, they're copyrighted, and that sort of thing would be illegal.
Okay, the thing I'm concerned about is the E after the 1999 indicates that this is only part of the standard, would be my guess. Is that correct?
They do occasionally have multiple parts, but I didn't come across a 1999E, but I didn't actually go looking for a 1999E.
No, it's just the link that you point to at the very top of it says colon 1999, and then it has an E in parentheses.
Well, I see two problems, at least, with this. One is that, I mean, ISO has moved on even since 1999, and, there are further updates since then. So if we're talking about overall compliance, we need to move way further up than 1999.
Well, I mean, fundamentally, the big issue is here. We're talking about a CD-ROM standard, and we're archiving on DVDs. So we're talking about the UDF standard.
Well, no, you're talking about an ISO file format standard, which happens to be used on CD-ROMs, not the same thing.
Actually, Ann, my understanding was that the whole ISO 9660 was a specification for optical media in particular.
Right, yes, but that's not just CDs.
Right, but we're not talking about archiving any MSL data on optical media.
Hang on. Susie, I question your statement there. Hang on. Let me... Information processing, volume, and file structure of CD-ROM for information interchange. That's the name of the ISO 9660 standard.
Yeah.
It's specifically CD-ROMs.
Yeah.
Didn't you just tell me it was optical media?
Well, okay. CD-ROMs, DVDs. I mean, I assume that... Okay, maybe I shouldn't assume that... they would have meant to include later versions of optical media.
No, I don't think they did. I don't think that's a safe assumption. I think the UDF is...
Well, there's certainly no way that MSL is archiving any data on CD-ROMs because they're too small. So,
right, but I guess that was kind of my reservation. Even if MSL isn't going to put anything on optical media it kind of reflects back on current PDS standards. I mean, if we really do consider CD dead, why are we constraining ourselves if we're never going to put it on that kind of media ever again?
And I realize I forgot to mention part two of our approach, which was that the whole standard, what standard do we comply with, et cetera, should be part of the PDS-4 discussion. So part one is just to get something that MSL can work with right now, and part two would be to really address this standards issue in depth as part of PDS-4.
I think my biggest concern with that is that if we give MSL the go-ahead on the extended file name, that there basically is no standard to which they are currently applying, at least that we have identified.
So is that so bad? Because
but our own standards.
Our standard, right. I mean...
Yes, there's a UDF standard, but the problem is none of us has actually sat down and investigated this thing sufficiently to know whether or not this new requirement... I mean, I would not be at all surprised that we are complying with it.
Well, I don't mean that... We would be holding them to a standard, and it would be the PDS standard.
Yes, but the PDS has had absolutely zero involvement in writing DVD and CD readers and writers and everything else. I mean, this is actually an issue.
Oh, Susie's saying, Elizabeth.
That has nothing to do with it, though. This is... I'm not talking about any...
arbitrary standard
for CDs or DVDs. I'm just saying that we want to extend the PDS standard to allow a 40-character file name, regardless of what ISO or anybody else says.
Okay, but we are thereby definitively throwing out the ISO 9660 standard.
Yep, but that's only for CDs, as you told me, and so I don't see that really makes a big difference.
Okay, so what is the standard that's replacing it then?
The PDS standard.
No, I don't buy that. Not in this case where we're actually talking about writing onto physical media. We need something like the UDF standard.
Right, but I think really what it comes down to is that the PDS standard has to fit within some other broader standard like UDF, which means we have some assurance that we can write this stuff on some media.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And when we look at the UDF standard, which limits file identifiers to 255 characters, we're within that, so there's no problem with PDS having a more restrictive standard than the UDF standard.
Now, the question I then have as a follow-up is what other restrictions does the UDF standard apply? What restrictions, if any, do they have on directory depth, on directory name lengths, on mixed case, and all that kind of stuff? Because basically, if we've traditionally had an ISO standard, the ISO 9660 standard, and we change one part of it, so we recognize we're breaking our compliance with that standard, and then we suddenly say, oh, so we're now compliant with UDF. But the only thing that we know we're compliant with UDF on is the file name link. We haven't actually gone through and looked at the UDF to find out if the rest of our standards are compliant.
Why don't we just say that? Why don't we just say that? Just as we did before, we said we're compliant with ISO level 2 with these restrictions.
Okay, what you need to understand, Susie, and this came up in yesterday's telecon as well, we were fully compliant. The 27.3 is a 9660 restriction. I mean, this was the exchange of emails we had yesterday. Todd did find a place in the 9660 standard that talked about the 31, or what does it work out to, 27, 38, 29, 30, yeah, the 31-character limit on the file names, including the 27-base character length restriction. So that is explicitly level 2.
Right.
It's not a restriction beneath, you know, it's not a sub-restriction of level 2. It is level 2.
So we were mistaken.
My first email that I sent to you was mistaken. After I saw Todd's research, I realized that we were correct in the first place, that 27.3 is exactly level 2 ISO 9660.
Yes and no. It's a subset. ISO 9660 level 2 does not require that you have a file extension. It merely requires that the sum total of the lengths of the file name plus the extension is 30. So it could be 28.2 or 29.1 or 30.0.
That's fair. I think that's fair. I'd have to go
so
back and check.
So the PDF constraint is tighter than the ISO constraint.
Okay, but certainly the length restriction is within is equal
it's
to the level 2.
Compliant
with
ISO level 2, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, I think the point is, go ahead.
Which if we switch to the UDF standard, we would be able to make that same statement, you know, truthfully.
Granted, on the length issue. But my point is there's a whole other slew of issues we need to investigate on UDF before
we
can claim
compliance. Well, the only other thing is the number of directory levels, and they say it's
we don't know that because we haven't looked.
No, I did. I put it on the blog, and it's 2 to the 32nd number of directory levels allowed, which is limitless, basically.
Wait. All right, let me read to you from what the standard says right now, the current standard, where it's talking about the Level 2 file names. It says, only file and directory name specifications for Level 2 may be used in PDF archive volumes. All other Level 2 extensions are prohibited. So could we not have a similar statement if we choose...
No. Okay, listen, because the problem is, fundamentally, when you choose to write a DVD, you choose a format that you're using to encode the file structure and the file system structure on that DVD. You need to do that in order to make sure the thing is going to be readable on the widest variety of readers possible. So we need to have a standard for reading, or a standard for that format to which we're applying. You can't continue to assume that you're writing ISO 9660 compliant CDs and simply bump up the file length so that you're now violating that standard and assume that everything's going to be able to read you. Because, you know, when you choose to write a DVD, you know, you're actually, depending on how you're choosing to write it, you could potentially be encoding, yes, this is an ISO 9660 compliant CD in some kind of header on the DVD. And then
I follow you now, but I still
I have
think
a
sorry, go ahead.
I have a suggestion. The PDS does not routinely distribute data on DVDs to users.
True.
Anymore.
Nor do I keep archive volumes on
reliable.
So what?
Because we don't think DVDs are reliable.
So,
well, that's not really the reason, but...
Well, that's part of it. The rest of it is that the PDS is clearly moving to electronic transfer of data, in which case file name length is not a problem in the sense that it is when you write a DVD.
Well, it's only constrained by file systems that are separate than...
If we are going to adopt any standard, ISO, et cetera, it would only apply when writing the media, the DVD media that it applies that.
And that's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, Mitch, I can't
say as well.
So
we changed the standards to say that if somebody is submitting data to the PDS on a DVD, they have to comply with the ISO 9660 level 2 requirement.
Well, but
okay, what our current standards say is that when you're submitting data on DVD, it needs to comply with the UDF bridge format. That UDF bridge format contains within it the restrictions of ISO 9660 in terms of file name length, etc. Okay. Now, it sounds like what we are intending to do is for those people who want to continue to archive on DVD, we're moving in the direction of a strict UDF format. Now, what that means is if you're going to use file names longer than the 27.3, you had better be choosing whatever options in your pre-mastering software that will guarantee that this is a UDF-compliant disk.
No, Elizabeth, I don't think we want to go that route yet. What I'm suggesting is that we offer people the option of submitting data on DVDs complying with what we already have in place, but for electronic transfers, we'll allow an extension, an increase in file name length because it's not written on a DVD, and it's never going to get written on a DVD if it comes in electronically.
Well, see, I don't know if that's the final statement's true, that it'll never be written on
DVD. Do we have a go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I kind of think the current standard that we adopted meant that we could write it on common media of the day with no name changes or truncations in the name.
That was true at the time.
Yeah.
And we don't know.
And I think that's very valuable to maintain that kind of utility so that we don't, when we deliver data, names don't change, because we sometimes put names, file names, in the labels themselves, so then we have to update labels if we change names.
Yes, I appreciate the potential risk of that. The difficulty is there is no existing physical media that is suitable for the large data size and the large, not only data files, but data collections existing. And we are probably several years away from getting a hard media that will work, and we have no idea what the criterion will be. So the choice would be to just restrict ourselves to things that would fit on DVDs, because we know that whatever comes along will not be any more restrictive than that. But that's our reason for doing it. It's not because we think it's going to get written to a DVD, but we want to make sure we'll be able to write it to hard media without changing file names.
Right.
And somebody else comes out with a standard in 5 years.
Right, and that's, I think, the critical judgment call right now. Are we ever going to write any of this on DVD ever again? If the answer is no, then why constrain yourself?
Okay, I will point out that we're talking about a surface mission here, not an orbiter mission. So I would like to hear from somebody on the mission whether or not they intend to archive to DVD, because in their case it's actually a practical reality as opposed to some of these orbiter missions.
I'm pretty sure they never will.
They never will.
I mean, I can get somebody, Justin, to come and tell you that, but I'm pretty sure they will. They're not even talking about DVDs. This is all electronic.
It's like Mitch said, the volume is too large. It's impractical.
Not on MSL, it's not going to be.
Oh, no.
MSL is nuclear-powered. It will go on forever.
Okay, but, I mean, you're still talking a surface mission. They simply don't collect the same volume of data you deal with on orbiters.
Yeah, I just don't see them ever. We just don't use DVDs anymore.
Frankly,
That's fine. I'm not arguing with what the choice of mission is, but I am saying that it is a practical question in their case. Okay.
I have a separate question for Susie.
Yeah.
Now I am all for file names that actually mean something to people, but is it really necessary to go beyond 27 characters to adequately describe a file?
Well, yeah, Ed and I had that conversation.
Do you really need all the spacecraft clock counter information in the file name?
No.
Do you really need that? Well, that's kind of a separate issue, and I could put forth their arguments, and one would be that the S-clock is what helps make the file unique. But that's kind of a separate issue from do we just allow this? And
well,
no, it's not a separate issue. It's a philosophical issue. I mean, where the heck did I do the calculation where I found 8.3 alone gives you, oh, great, I don't have the email at hand here, way more unique file names. There's something like a trillion file names, unique file names. I can't remember it at the moment.
Well, there's more restrictions on it than that.
But then the file names aren't necessarily meaningful in 8.3.
Right, I grant that. But the point is, in terms of the unique argument is a ridiculous one. Now, what they're talking about is embedding tons of metadata in the file name. And to me, that's just an idiot argument, because you've got plenty of room within the directory structure to do that kind of thing, to enable sorting or easily, you know, the ability to easily find data. You've got databases where you can store this information. You've got the labels where you can store this information. I think philosophically, their whole argument is foolish. Right. These are the same people that when we moved from 8.3, they were the ones who drove the increase from 8.3 to 27.3. and swore up and down at the time that they would never need more than 27.3. So what I'm curious about is, okay, is 40 going to be the limit? Or next mission, are they going to be asking for more than that, 128? You know, where's the end?
I don't see that that is, well, all right, 128 would be bad, but I don't see that that's such a big deal. They're basing this on their user experience from MER and from Phoenix.
Okay, they're basing that on their selected user experience, basically those people on the mission that are using high-end computers. There are some very practical limitations on how easy it is to use files with extremely long file names. I just talked to Betty, who's having to use their files, and she finds it incredibly frustrating dealing with those file names.
Elizabeth, I'd like to hear what Susie has to say about it.
All right.
Well, I was talking about this with Ed, who is still involved on MER on a daily basis, and he was talking about how it is difficult when you're just scanning a directory of file names to pick out what you want. And one reason that they would like to have this extra space is so they can put in some separators to make it easier to scan a file listing and pick out which part refers to the instrument, which part refers to the time, the filter, whatever.
Okay, but the problem is they're storing all of their files in single directories, aren't they? I mean, in a single directory. They're not using directory structures to sort data.
Oh, yeah, they are. They have at least divided up by sol.
Then why don't they do more? I mean, this is what people have been using for decades to sort files. Why all of a sudden does all this information have to be embedded in the file names?
And, Susie, this is essentially what has come up with the masks data, is that they have these huge directories. They had something like 5,000 files in a directory without breaking them down into subdirectories.
Yeah, I know that problem. That's kind of different, though, Lyle, isn't it? I mean, they
no.
could use
the well, but is it really?
That's Messenger. That's not MSL.
I understand that.
But it's the same philosophical issue.
But my point, Susie, is that it could eventually become the same problem. If you're not using subdirectories as they're intended to be, my question again is, why does all this information need to be in the file name? Why can't you use subdirectory structures to condense the file names down to 27?
Well, Lyle, I guess you could argue with that logic that why don't you just name the files, you know, A, B, C.
That argument has actually been made. And I mean, back when we were doing the whole argument about 8.3 to 27.3, it was pointed out you can come up with completely unique file names without ever having to go beyond 8.3.
Yeah, but I guess...
I understand that, Chris. I preface this whole thing by saying that I really do like useful file names,
right.
Meaningful file names. But does going from 27 to 36... really make it useful, or is it just a convenience for the pipeline?
Well, I think there's nothing wrong with the convenience because the technology is changing to where, you know, the platform...
If it's a convenience for the pipeline, is it a convenience for the user? And Susie just said that Ed says not really.
Well, not for MER. It is the name is very crowded, and he would like to see separators in there. So that it'd be easier to scan a file like an underscore. After.
Right. But I guess the question, Susie, is would it be better served by separating into subdirectories, or are separators really the best method? That's my question.
We can talk about this with Miffle, who's the one designing all these file names right now. But I still think that their request to have a few extra characters is a reasonable one.
I understand that. I'm just trying to figure out really why they can't get a meaningful file name out of 27, and whether they're really using all of the 27 characters that they're generating, or are they just
using them. In fact,
are most of them really not of use?
For example, one thing that they're talking about doing is they started out by saying, well, for the S-clock, we'll just make it in hex. So that'll save us a couple characters, even though it's unreadable. And then that wasn't enough, so now they're talking about putting it in base 36.
Okay, why don't you list to us all of the metadata attributes that they're intending to include in the file name?
I can do that, but I really don't think that's the job that we're undertaking here. I mean, if you want to be on the peer review committee and talk about it then, we can go over why we think their file names
are. Okay, it's way too late by the time peer review rolls around.
Yeah.
If you want to affect file names, you have to do it early on when the pipeline is being designed.
That's
because
when we do
everything
peer review.
Is around.
Can I jump back in again?
Yep.
Okay. Well, so now we've identified two issues. One is going beyond 27 if you're writing on hard media, and we may be able to get around that by limiting that restriction and lifting it for electronic transferred data. We haven't decided on that. The other issue is whether or not the extension is the right the increase in file length is the right thing to do. And it seems to me this argument is down to what do users want. That is, there is no real reason for the PDS to arbitrarily impose a limit to 27 unless the users are telling us that's not what they want.
No, I disagree with that statement.
Okay, well, that's where this argument has been
drawn. That's what I'm saying, but...
Hang on. By users, I do not mean the mission.
I understand.
I mean non-mission users. Because if they're finding that 27 characters is too long or too hard, and they would like to see it much simpler in the metadata and the labels only, then that's a strong argument for not doing this. If we got people who are not on, who have been working with other mission, rover missions, who are not on the missions themselves, but are working with the data, who are saying, these file names are great, but they'd be better if we had more spaces in them so we could find the stuff more quickly, then we ought to consider trying to accommodate them if there are no overwhelming reasons not to.
I think, Mitch, the way I would look at it instead is, as you say, there's the very specific issue of if we continue to write on physical media, what limitations are imposed there by the existing ISO and UDF standards? Okay, I agree. Aside from that, I would break your other point down further. I think we need to look at the technical aspects of this, and we need to look at the philosophical aspects of it. And I would include whether or not users want it within the philosophical. I would also include sort of good engineering design policies within that. On the technical side, which we haven't even begun to discuss yet, we need to go through, as Susie has started, and examine the impact on our tools. We need to examine the impact on any interfaces we've got. We need to examine the impact on catalogs and everything else. And because I my understanding from what the MC said is basically they want to know, is this change going to break anything?
Yeah,
and I think
it's hard to do in terms of the tools. It's probably a non-starter. And I think everybody up front knew that. But I didn't want the management council trying to make those kind of determinations. So that's going to have to fall to the tech group.
Right. So
it's hard to implement. If it's hard to implement because it breaks tools, then I think it is a non-starter. But if it turns out that it's not affecting the tool significantly, if it's a one-line change in vTool, then I don't think that would be a significant change.
I couldn't get anything to break.
Yes, I actually am not sure that it's a non-starter on that front. I've been asking around a lot and so far have not heard any showstoppers.
The imaging node actually mentioned Monday that they had polled their ISIS developers and other software developers to ask if this would have any effect, and the answer was generally no.
Okay. But I do also want to say, Susie, that I don't believe we've done an exhaustive enough search yet. I mean, as I say, there's a couple of areas I've already mentioned that you do not identify any impact assessment in your SCR. And we need this is online interfaces, web, you know, basically search engines, not the engine themselves, but the displays. Are we going to have problems with, for example, the data set search, you know, things like the various node search interfaces, et cetera? We need to identify that. We need to go through and also do an analysis of what was the other thing that I wrote here. Catalog and ingestion tools. It doesn't look like there's going to be an impact. I've already asked. Hello?
Hello, this is Raphael. Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, hi, Raphael. Okay. So since we're talking about products rather than any catalog files or anything like that, they don't believe there's going to be an issue. But like I say, I think we need to do a more exhaustive analysis from a technical standpoint on does anything break?
Yeah, that was what Dan Crichton said at the meeting, and he said he actually volunteered to help organize that by, I guess, polling the nodes and asking specific questions about please try this, and this, and tell me if this will break.
Okay, I'm now basically for Dan polling you guys and saying during this next week we need to have each node go through and analyze whether there's going to be any problems on their end from either software that they use, web interfaces, whatever, that's going to break if faced with these 40-character file names.
There should at least be an error message coming out of vTool.
Yeah, I was surprised. I just read that on your blog, Dick. I was surprised to see that.
Yeah.
There was definitely not an error message.
I was kind of stunned about that myself, but that's because vTool was designed for the data dictionary, not for the standards reference.
Yeah.
Right, but it should actually check the file name that's coming in, not only the keyword value inside the label.
I realize that, but if you the data dictionary file name has a length of 120.
Yeah,
I understand. But we know that the file name should meet the 27.3 criterion, and apparently it's not checking that when it first encounters lists of files.
I wonder, would you, Susie, put a mixed case file name in there and see if VTool kicks it out or not?
I don't remember.
Because it ought to, and maybe it's not. In which case,
it
has some problems that need to be fixed fast.
I'll bet there are several things like that that it just doesn't test.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's still version.
Well, and as somebody said earlier, it's not data dictionary based. And, yeah, I mean, there's definitely stuff in there that's encoded from the standards reference. But
well, I think it does check the data dictionary. It doesn't check other things like mixed case. And
yeah. It's based on the data dictionary. Okay, yeah, we're a little sidetracked here. Elizabeth is correct, of course. We do have to do a thorough assessment, and there hasn't been time to do that yet, about whether or not this breaks the PDS. But I am concerned about the philosophical comments. I'm actually uncomfortable in this instance with that heading. I'm worried about user support.
Okay. Well, what do we want to call it then? Because I guess what I would like to see is I'd like to see a technical impact assessment.
Absolutely.
What I would also like to see in this SCR is a list of our concerns. You know, do you want to call it an engineering design perspective or whatever, or more a user perspective? I don't know. But whatever we call it, several of us have got these more quote-unquote philosophical concerns, and I think they need to at least be mentioned in this SCR so that the MC is aware of them. Now, I'm not going to tell the MC whether or not they have to, you know, care about that when they make their decision. That's up to them. But I think they need to at least be aware of the issues.
Before we do that, we really need to look at these criteria that we set up for accepting new SCRs. Is this going to take so much time over the next 3 or 4 weeks that everything else grinds to a halt? Is it worth doing?
My understanding, Dick, on that front is that the entire reason that Susie and Ray took this to the MC first was precisely to identify whether or not this was an issue that they were comfortable with us going forward on.
And their conclusion was they didn't know what the impacts were, so they suggested the SCR be turned in. It's now our turn to say this is going to take a lot of time and effort.
Well, I don't know that I think it's going to take a lot of time and effort, Dick, at this stage. All we're doing is not actually implementing the SCR. We're trying to figure out whether or not to implement it will take too much time.
But we have the right to reject an SCR on the basis that we think it's going to take too much time.
Okay, here's the specific statement in the gateway that's sort of the exception clause. In addition to the above criteria, anyone within the PDS has the right to advocate for a change to the standards. The tech group will decide on the merits of the SCR before any significant work is done on it based on the urgency, desirability, and implementation complexity of the proposed changes. And then we've got a little asterisk on that I presented to the MC and they accepted, which basically said, I believe the tech group took it for granted that any important SCRs requiring significant development effort would have to be sanctioned by the MC before work began on them. I am basically seeing the discussion that happened at the MC Telecon yesterday as the MC giving initial sanction to some initial work.
It was not a no vote.
That was my impression also, Elizabeth.
Okay, and Dick, thank you, Susie. I didn't understand your comment, though, Dick. It was not a no vote, meaning?
The Management Council didn't kill it on the spot.
Right.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean we have to take that as implicit approval to go ahead at our level.
I grant that. At the same time, I think what, again, and I was not there on the telecon. I'll say that right up front. But what I am hearing is that the MC is interested enough in this that we need to, on the tech group, take that as we want to see some work done to really figure out whether or not this is going to be easily implementable.
I wrote the minutes. That's not quite how I took it.
Let me do it the other way around. Now, I would suggest that from the tech group perspective, it looks like we have to do some work to get to the point to make a decision about whether it's going to be too much work to implement. But I don't yet see that the short-term assessment is too much work to preclude our going forward.
I don't think implementation is the issue yet. It's how much time it's going to take to study the SCR itself.
I don't think that it's enough to cut it off.
I kind of agree with that. You know, and again, maybe the pressure is all, you know, via one person here, but my impression is that the MC on the whole wanted us to go forward on this.
No. I really got the impression the MC said, put it in as an
ordinary SCR and let the tech give their advice to the management council
all
about
right.
whether
okay.
to proceed or not.
Well,
it wasn't here, run it through and approve it.
Okay. Then given that, the biggest problem that we are then facing after that is the timing. Basically, that the turnaround on this has to be super quick. And essentially what that would require is not a huge amount of work, but work that all has to be done in this next week. Unfortunately, 2 weeks from now, we've got the tech session here. And basically, we're going to need to have a follow-up tech session, standards telecon on just this issue next week in order to get this turned around in the necessary time for the mission.
Well, you don't have to accept that timeline. MSL needs that if it's going to use this. But the SCR, if it's got technical merit, could go ahead on a somewhat more relaxed time scale.
I don't know how to put this anymore.
You've been told that this needs to be done quickly.
Yes.
And I'm saying don't listen to him. And if you want, I will call him and tell him that.
Maybe we are bigger than it really is. So I've been trying to write down things that would go into our sort of work plan that I wanted to discuss today. So far I've got two things. One is, using Elizabeth's words, we need to do a technical assessment at each node to find out what the impacts are. And I guess that biggest hit there is on the engineering node because they would have to test the PDF search page. I don't know how anybody else can test that. So that's one thing. The other thing is the philosophical objection to putting a lot of metadata into a file name. I don't really know where to go with that.
Ms. Susie, I have a suggestion, actually, for where to go.
Those are the only two things I've heard of, and that, to me, does not add up to a lot of work.
Well, there's the ISO standard.
There's the standard. There's also the individual nodes are going to have to test any web interfaces they've got.
It's really a lot of work. But, Susie, as far as the philosophical, here's my suggestion. MER and Phoenix are using similar types of file names, yes?
Yes, because MIPL's doing all of them, yeah.
It's probably best for geosciences to poll the MER and Phoenix user communities to determine whether or not they find 27.3 to be too much, not enough, or just right, I suppose.
Yeah, and would more than that be a concern?
And I think that might help alleviate the concerns about what the user community desires, because
do that, and I will do that if that's what the group directs me to do. But I maintain that that input is not related to a standard. That's a different issue that should be part of the peer review process.
Well,
I disagree.
That's a PDS standard.
Yeah. Susie, I'm afraid that I'm with Lyle on this one. One of the motivations that I would have for supporting this is that somebody really needs it. Not MIPL.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the people who get the data to want this. And if those people are sitting there going, why aren't these in smaller directories and have small, simple file names, then we ought to hear that.
Yeah.
And all that means is then you don't have the motivation to make this change because you don't have that push from your user community.
It's simply an issue of being responsive, to your users.
Yeah. If it's just something that MIPL and the team want to do that is going to be painful for the rest of the user community, then I think PDS shouldn't step up to it this rapidly.
Yeah.
But if everybody that's using the other data going, you know, if those same file names, I try to use all that information in the file names, and it's hard to find because there are no spaces and underscores. So, yeah, getting a few extra characters in there would make this easier, and I really do want long file names. Then I think we ought to make an effort to try to do that if it doesn't break PDS. But I think that, for me, that's a big driver.
All right, I will do such a poll.
Hey, this is Boris. I'm one of the users for those file names.
Mm-hmm.
And my opinion is that it's good to have all that extra information.
Okay.
So it's good that the file name is long and it has all these wonderful filter IDs and camera IDs and S-clock and so on. And I don't care much about separators. I don't know who's pushing for that.
Okay, the other another technical issue that I would bring up, Susie, it will not be a showstopper as far as I know for the 40-character file name, is the, I am brain dead today, any display issues on various different platforms.
Display of file name, you mean?
Yes, in terms of any physical limitations on ability to display the full file name, so that you end up having, for example, the way a Mac deals with longer file names than it can display is it ends up putting a, for crying out loud, the three dots.
Yeah.
Ellipsis,
thank you, in the middle of the file name.
All I know about is Windows.
Yeah, well, that's actually good because the one I know about, I've done some testing on my fairly high-end Mac, and there are limitations beneath 255, but there's nothing that's going to be an issue for 40.
Mitch, don't you have a Mac?
Yeah, I have a Mac, and I have Windows. I do not have Linux.
Like I say, I've already done a bunch of tests on a Mac. I created a whole bunch of files that were 255 in length, and I found out which kinds of limitations we have. I imagine true Unix platforms are going to have the least problem. I mean, you've got a huge amount of real estate to work with there.
Well, certain search routines will crash. I do loops, and I run into problems with 2,000 files in a directory.
Okay. Any info like that would be valuable to provide.
On the books, though, is that there's a recommendation to not have more than 100 or so files in a directory.
Right. Well, there's a lot of places on the web where people are recommending, you know, yes, you can go this high, but don't. It's not a good idea.
That's not the issue.
I understand. But this.
I'm talking to Dick.
I'm sorry. Okay.
The issue is not number of files in a directory. It's the length of the file name.
Well, actually, it's the total number of characters in a list in my case.
Okay, but
if I have very short file names, I can look at more files.
But anyway, I would appreciate it. I can certainly drop a list of the file names and tests that I ran on my Mac, and if somebody could do that on a Windows platform, I'd appreciate any feedback we can get on that in terms of physical limitations we're dealing with. So, Susie, you say you've got a Windows. I can send something off to you in more detail there.
Thank you.
Note that Windows dependence may depend on what file system your disk is using, in addition to whatever the OS imposes on character limits on command.
Right, because there's NTFS, there's,
I really need you Windows people to step up on that one then, because I try not to touch those machines
if I can. Is there anybody in this group who will admit to being a Windows person?
Oh, I'm a big Windows user.
Well, there you go.
But I'm a little unclear on what we're being asked to do here. If it's just checking file name lengths, we know what those limits are for the
file
system.
No, the issue is not what the file length limit is in terms of the file system. The issue is what can a user practically use. I mean, in other words, if you have a directory full of really long file names, for example, on a Mac, as I say, the ellipses would be displayed in the middle of the file name. So if the only unique characteristics were in the middle of the file name and were covered up by that ellipses, you'd have no way as a user of distinguishing among different file names to the extent that there was part of the file name missing from the display.
But in Windows and Windows Explorer, the ellipsis at the end, and if it isn't enough, you widen the field. You just drag and widen the field.
But what I'm saying, Todd, though, is on a Mac, at least on my machine, which, like I say, is a fairly high-end laptop, there's a physical limit simply in terms of the screen size.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, now, yes, you could decrease your font size or you know until your screen resolution until you've got micro print so that you could get the... Actually, but even there, I went through and identified which different directory display mechanisms allowed you to increase beyond a certain size. Some allow you to simply widen the screen until you get the full max. Others don't. Others, there are actual limitations on the number of characters that can be displayed, not on the number of characters that they can have, but on the number that can actually be displayed in the file name. So that's the kind of thing that I would like to know what the limits are on a PC.
But this is this would
be
a
much more than 40.
Pardon me? I'm sure it will be. But I'm still saying, as part of a true technical analysis of the impact, we need to know what those numbers are.
Sure.
Could I ask a couple questions?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My first question is, how badly is Mipple determined to fight for this?
They want it really bad.
Okay.
This was their second attempt. The first attempt was last summer, and I mentioned it to Ron and Elizabeth, or I called somebody to say, you know, would this go at all? And they said, absolutely not. So I went back to the archive working group, and I said, you know, PDS is in transition, and we're just not able to do this.
Okay,
so
9 out of 10. So the next question is, how terrible would it be if we granted a waiver to the mission, to just this mission on PDS-3, and deferred the entire question of studying appropriate file names and character sets
to PDS4?
Ron's already suggested that.
Well, there you go.
It's a good question, yeah.
I thought of that, too. That's kind of on my list as the last resort, but it's there.
Well, how bad would it be if we just said no again?
Like I said, if Nipple is determined to fight, they'll fight tooth and nail. And it will be distracting for the next, until we decide to, that it's easier to give them what they want and make them go away.
Well, if you're talking about pleasing users, they're not going to be happy because those file names...
They're not users.
No, I don't.
They're data providers.
I don't mean that, and that's another argument that I'm not going to have right now. But if you're talking about pleasing the actual users with happy file names, they're going to be very unhappy because these file names would be even more crowded.
I think if we...
Sorry.
No, they don't have to be. I mean, this gets back to the philosophical stuff. It's simply a poor design issue in terms of the way they're laying out their data.
Susie, I'm sorry. Susie, could you repeat what you said to make it clear? I missed the point you were making.
Well, we were talking earlier about how non-mission users need to be happy with their file names and have reasonable file names.
You mean happy with shorter links?
Well, be able to look at a file name and read it and know what's in it.
Right, be able to discern more about the file name.
Right. So if that is a goal, then if we do not extend the file name length for MSL, those users are going to be even less happy than they are now because the file names will then be worse.
Right,
because
they're currently unhappy with the limited file length.
Susie, I want to know how much this entire issue is being driven by a de-emphasis on directories due to restrictions in FEI. I mean, is the simple fact that they don't want to have a bunch of directories because each separate directory requires a different FEI?
I don't know. I know what FEI is. I don't have any idea how much that is driving this.
I talked to Doug yesterday, and I asked him that question. He told me that one of the ways they process things is that they bring a bunch of products from different areas onto a common, almost like a common floor where they do a lot of processing. And so the longer the name is, the more they're able to distinguish them.
But why? I guess this is what I'm trying to get at, is why are they all in this common area?
I don't know why.
What's the driver behind that? Why not use directories?
I don't know. I guess it might be easier for them in some way.
I guess, Elizabeth, the thing is that it's the way they've done their software for Phoenix and for MER, and it is most cost-effective for them to keep doing it that way.
I understand that, but we've also had guidelines in the PDS for eons telling, you know, spelling out exactly why it makes sense to break things down by directory. And, you know, they've chosen to ignore that.
No, they do break things down by directory, just maybe not enough to suit you.
No, don't say it that way.
Hold on.
I'm really rude here.
For Phoenix and MER, what is the typical maximum number of files that they have in a directory? Are they talking about 1,000? Do they still...
I don't know that I can...
1,000 files in a directory like Messenger tried to do, or for Phoenix and MER, has it simply been...
Well, Ed just came in. Let me ask.
100 range, and they're still using the long file names anyway.
I think we heard 5,000 earlier.
That was Messenger.
No, that was Messenger.
That was Messenger, okay.
Ed just came in, so I'm asking him, and he's thinking about it.
Well, the next question is, how many is MSL going to put in a directory?
Don't know yet. And truly, it's not defined. They have not written SISs yet.
I guess I'm not clear on why that is important related to the file name, except in saying that, you know,
well,
if you take some of the metadata you're packing in the file name, you make it a subdirectory.
Exactly. I mean, I think they're directly related. They are being driven to pack all this information into the file name because they're refusing to use directories.
Right, but I heard Susie say part of the reason why they're want the longer length is they want to put delimiters in.
But that's because they've already got so much information packed into the file names.
Hold on, Elizabeth. I didn't necessarily hear that they weren't going to use subdirectories. You can still allow 40 characters and still break it up into various directories.
Yes, that's not decided yet.
No. Okay, I don't think you're understanding. What I'm saying is rather than increasing the file name length, it is possible that they could take some of the metadata out of the file name, make it less crowded, and use directories to subdivide these things on the basis of that metadata that they took out of the file name.
Well, honestly, I can't defend them because I don't know why they've made the decisions that they have made.
Right. We're kind of second-guessing here.
Enough. We can or can't.
Are we second-guessing or are we asking pointed questions that they need to respond to? I mean, we're not presuming to have the answers.
Elizabeth, no matter how hard they try to separate them into reasonable directories in one on one file system, somebody can take them and shove them in one directory on a different one. And they don't want to have a situation when they cannot do it. So that's the bottom line. And you can tell them how to do it 1,000 times. They will still push for unique names with as much information as possible.
And as I've pointed out, you've got plenty of unique names within an 8.3
project. And meaningful, okay? Because as I said,
I fully grant. We've got a philosophical difference of opinion here, okay? I grant that. All I'm saying is I want the arguments to at least be heard by the MC. I'm not saying that my point of view has to prevail. I'm simply saying I want the opportunity to present my point of view.
The product ID can be meaningful even if the file name isn't.
Which actually brings up another issue, which I thought was a very valid one by Mitch. If we're talking about using the product ID as the file name, doesn't it make more sense to be talking about 44 characters rather than 40?
Yeah.
Depends.
40.3.
Does your file name limit, I'm sorry, when you say you want to extend file names to 40, do you mean 40 characters total?
Yes.
Or do you mean 40 characters for the file name plus a dot plus a three-character extension?
But we're not using the product ID for the file name. We're using the file name for the product ID.
No, it's the other way around on MSL is my understanding.
It's 36.3, I think.
I had proposed 36.3, but if y'all like 44, then I'm happy with that too.
Well, I think the point that Mitch was making is if the basis for your selecting 40 was the product ID, isn't the product ID usually equated to the base name rather than the entire file name?
I have seen
because they're using the file name for the product ID.
Yeah.
Is that what they're doing? I mean, including the extension?
I have seen it done both ways.
Including the extension.
Yeah.
Excuse me, it's Mitch.
Yep.
It's my suggestion.
Okay, go for it.
If we're going to do this anyway and product ID is limited to 40, why don't we go ahead and give it an extra three characters so that we can use a product ID that's in a future mission that is 40 characters long and doesn't include a file extension as the root for the file name if the user wants to do that. That will at least give us something substantial, you know, something we can point to and say, this is why we used 40.3.
I agree.
I mean, you know, if we're going to do this at all, we might just as well accommodate the next request.
That assumes a certain mapping.
Now, Mitch, let me throw a wrench into that. What if you have the same root but two different extensions?
Then you can't do it.
A compound type product like Sears.
You can do it just fine.
You cannot do it.
What do you mean? Why?
All I'm doing is saying just make the file name length option long enough to accommodate it if it is a suitable approach. I don't see that there's any, if we're going to go to 40, I don't see any problem going the extra three characters.
Four characters, because you got to include the dot.
Yeah. I just don't see, it just seemed to me a reasonable thing to do. If you guys don't want to do it, that's fine.
No. I think the point is here, though, that your approach does satisfy the issue that Lyle just brought up, which is if you have a compound product, you've got a single product ID, and that product can consist of multiple files, like, for example, a .tab and a .img or something like that.
Yeah. But, yeah, anyway, it's almost an off-the-wall suggestion, and it's something
fine.
We can just change the SCR if people think that it's worth doing.
That's fine with me, Mitch.
Yeah. I am concerned about the direction that we're going here, and I think that we all want to be on the same page. We don't need to have ourselves dragged around by the nose a lot. On the other hand, MIPL produces a lot of data in a pipeline. I really understand the concept that they want to put more information in a file name, and in order to do that, because there's already so much information in previous file names, they need more characters. I don't have a problem with that. And the fact that it might have some separators to make it easier, or it means that you don't have to truncate your abbreviations, I understand that. My concern is that MIPL's desire needs to have some grounding in what happens after it leaves MIPL.
Yes.
I'm absolutely convinced of this. I'm going to be hard over. If there's a large user community out there for Rover data that says, I really need to have all that information in the file name, I don't care how many subdirectories you put it in, I want it in the file name, then I think it's worth trying to pursue. If the user community says, I don't look at the file names, I just look at the headers, then this is probably not worth pursuing. And I walked into this discussion ready to suggest doing a waiver, and I'm now going to be really opposed to that. Either we go along with this idea or we don't. If we approve a waiver for this one for MIPL, they'll do it forever.
Yeah, good point.
We are going to, I think we need to insist that MIPL comply with the standards. Be reasonable about accommodating them by making the standards different. Reasonable.
And I think Elizabeth was going in the right direction, saying we have to do a technical assessment of this in terms of adopting, you know, are there any technical limitations to going to a longer file name?
Yeah.
We've identified one, and that is we don't have backward compatibility to the ISO 966 standard. And I think our judgment is that important at this point in PDS? I think people are of, you know, different minds on that.
Yeah.
But going, you know, other than that, I think Elizabeth identified another one in terms of if we do have 40 character, what's the impact on how people normally view these files on different operating systems? And, you know, that's a legitimate technical assessment of the impact. And then we have our system impact, too, in terms of, you know, databases and query interfaces and other tools.
Yes, and any one of those would be grounds for turning this down outright.
Yeah. But at least we would have a technical basis for saying no and not a philosophical one.
Yeah, I guess I was going to add that I think, I guess in my opinion, the only relevant issue is the technical impact. The philosophical part, I mean, we all have different opinions, but I think the technical impact is the only reason that we would reject it.
I don't agree.
I think if the user community doesn't want this, then,
we should do it.
Is a philosophical.
Yes. Yes.
And
that's our job, not MIPL's.
Yeah.
To support the user community. By user community, I specifically mean beyond the mission itself.
Yeah. I have one more question I'd like to raise, and I don't even know which category to put this in, technical or philosophical. Some of you that write journal articles, particularly in journals, as I assume most do, that have the two-column format. At what point does a lengthy file name become a problem as a caption under a one-column image in terms of screwing up the magazine's formatting?
That you would ever put the file name there?
I've seen magazines do it. They did it on Pathfinder.
Well, you should put the product ID. That's guaranteed to be unique.
All right. I'm telling you I've seen it on Pathfinder. It was
a
JGR issue or something like that.
Product ID is still 40 characters, so.
Okay, but again, our job is to analyze the impacts. This is another potential impact. Is there anybody that we're speaking
really
to right now that writes articles?
Well, yeah, but you know, normally figures aren't single column. They're double.
No,
they're
there's plenty I've seen that are single column.
They are, but they're usually, you know, smaller.
The font.
You know,
I pulled a JGR issue on Pathfinder off the shelf right now. I am looking. There are plenty of single column images in here.
Sure.
You know, Liz, I agree that might be a problem, but, you know, if we're not going to let MIPL tell us what to do, we're sure not going to let JGR tell us what to do.
Okay. All I'm trying to say is most magazines, most journals, scientific journals, publish in two-column format, right?
Right, right. Elizabeth, I have an Icarus that's here in front of me, and I'm seeing some single-column graph pictures. The point is that the font for the caption is much smaller than the...
Granted. Okay, I'm not saying this is a complex issue. All we need to do is count the number of characters across the page in a caption on one of these things and just say...
All right.
Elizabeth?
Yep.
Sorry, in that particular case, I guess I don't think the relevance of publishing in a journal or an abstract should have any impact on a decision on file.
Isn't this a user issue?
No, it varies too much from journal to journal.
Here's a Voyager image, or here's a MIPL or an MLS image, and the caption wouldn't be any more specific than that, and the narrative would tell you what the file product ID was. But realistically, product ID is what we would prefer they use, not file name anyway.
Elizabeth, to answer your question, I counted 72.
I think we're kind of off the subject here. So
59 here. Yeah.
It's an interesting point, but I don't think, again, that this one would be a showstopper.
All right.
I would like to request that we get some direction to move forward.
Okay. Here's what I would recommend then. I think every node needs to do a technical assessment. Specifically, the things that could potentially impact the nodes would be any homegrown tools they have. any search interfaces on the web, and any catalog issues.
That information should then be sent to the working group, which is Mitch and Ron Joyner and myself.
Okay.
And copy to Elizabeth.
The engineering note is obviously going to have to do a little bit more work in terms of the entire set of, you know, PDS tools, the common PDS tools, and the similar work in terms of the catalogs and interfaces we have here.
Is every node represented today?
I'm sorry?
Is every node represented here today?
That's a good question.
And related to that, Elizabeth, would you send out some action items on that?
I can attempt to do so, yeah. Hang on.
And I would suggest people look at the 40.3 option rather than the 37.3.
Now, if I recall, PSA froze the current PDS standards, so how are they going to deal with this if we accept?
Good question.
Doesn't make any difference if they're frozen.
Doesn't affect them at all.
Yeah.
They would just not use it, and then no problem. So that's one action item for each of the nodes.
Yeah, we've got everybody here. Okay.
I have another one for myself, which is to poll Mer and Phoenix users about how they like their file names.
And then I would argue that everybody who has any what we've been calling philosophical arguments has the right to submit them in writing to the technical group, or the working group.
The working group, with including Elizabeth. I mean, I know you're not on the working group, but you want to stay on this, right?
I would definitely like to submit my arguments, yeah.
I assume you want to see all those. Maybe you don't want to. That's okay.
Sure. Okay, I'll whatever. I can be on your group.
I didn't mean to talk you into it, but I just didn't want to leave you out.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
So we're going to try to have a working group discussion before next week?
Yeah, we do need to do that. So that was the other point I was coming to, as Elizabeth pointed out, next Wednesday we really need to have a meeting. Is that going to work for everybody?
Probably not me. I'll be driving at the time. I can do it, but I won't have a computer in front of me.
Okay. Is everybody willing to attend a telecon next week?
I'm on an airplane somewhere over the Atlantic next Wednesday.
Okay, so no Dick, no Mitch.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
Both of you could talk to us, Mitch and I obviously have to talk. Dick, you could call us earlier if you want to.
I'm flying back from Belgium. I either call you at about 10 o'clock the previous night or at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, I guess I can't go to Belgium. Huh? Okay.
We'll probably get stuff close to where it can be seen before you have to disconnect yourself from the rest of the world.
All righty. Okay, so it sounds like we've got enough people at least to have some more discussion of the SDR. All right. Susie, you need a deadline for if you're going to have something turned around by next Wednesday, you need a deadline for everybody to get their impact assessments into you.
Mitch, can we have a meeting by Tuesday?
Yes, I'm good. Monday or Tuesday, I can give you time.
All right. How about close of business Monday?
Close of business Monday. Everybody needs to get their impact to you. Okay. So all node impact assessment into Susie by end of day Monday. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Any other major points we've missed or anything like that?
I don't think you want to ask that.
Major points, I said. Major. Okay. If not, we're going to have a telecon next Wednesday, the 17th, at 9 a.m., specifically on this one issue.
Everybody? Or just the
working
group?
Yes. No. Not just the working group. This is everybody on the tech group that wants to participate. But it'll just be, like I say, this one issue. All the other SCRs will be, when do we need to have our next regular telecon? That would be 4 weeks from today. It would be 2 weeks after the tech session. It would be the 8th of October is what I've got. 10:08, nothing on the calendar here that I can see. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Next regular, 10:08. Okay, now is anyone aware of anything that this group needs to discuss prior to the tech session next week? Or excuse me, 2 weeks from now? I am not. I don't know if anyone else is. Okay. Then we don't need to worry about that. Okay, sounds good. I'll see most of you, or talk to most of you next week, and then the next meeting will be on October 8th.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
All right, everybody. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.